This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas, and today we are going to be doing a preview of UFC 311. And in this card, it will be Islam Makhachev taking on Arman Tsarukyan for the UFC lightweight title. And I'm making this just as the fight has been announced, but this fight has been in the works for a long time, ever since Arman Tsarukyan beat Charles Oliveira at UFC 300, and then Islam Makhachev beating Dustin Poirier at UFC 302, this was the fight that was going to be made. And a lot of people thought this would be done for UFC 308 in Abu Dhabi, because it's really close to where Islam is and Arman is, but Arman got suspended, Islam was hurt, so now we have this fight as our opening pay-per-view card for 2025. And they already fought once, so this is the second time they'll fight, but the first time they fought was in 2019, so it was a while, and both were probably not in their primes of where they are now. And Arman is probably the best fighter, I'd say, to date that Islam is going to fight, because Arman has a very good ground game. He's very good on the feet striking, and I think he can provide a lot of challenges against Islam. But then again, Islam's a champion. He beat Oliveira for the title by submission. He beat the number one pound for pound fighter, Alexander Volkanovski, beat him twice, and then beat lightweight legend Dustin Poirier. And so now he is looking for his fourth title defense as the UFC lightweight champion, which would be the most in that division ever. And this is going to be a really good fight, but I think Islam is going to win. I think he's just been so dominant. Like, I honestly think he's better than Khabib, just because Khabib could really not stand up and strike with people, but Islam has been. Like, he knocked out Volk with that nasty leg kick, given Volk came in on short notice, but still, Volk is one heck of a fighter, very tough fighter, and he doesn't go down by anything. So the fact that Islam was able to finish that fight so quickly is a testament to his greatness. And I think Islam's the most complete fighter that the UFC has seen in a long time. Like, obviously, he has that awesome ground and pound game, able to get people in submission attempts. Just, he's the total package. So I think he's going to get it done on January 18th. And also announced, the co-main event will be for the Bantamweight Championship, Merab Dvalishvili and Umar Nurmagomedov will be fighting. And this is a fight that's also been in the works ever since Umar Nurmagomedov beat Corey Sandhagen at UFC Fight Night. It's basically been a given, but it would be who he would fight. And since Merab beat Sean O'Malley at the Sphere, this has been the fight to make. Even though Merab has kind of been ducking this fight, not wanting to take it, Umar was all up in his business about Tim taking this fight, about him ducking. And now we have the fight. The fight's going to happen. And I honestly think this is going to be a really good fight. But there's a reason why this fight is not on its own pay-per-view card. And it's because in this day and age, people want to see action. They want to see knockouts, high-level ground and pound, high-level striking. And the thing with these two guys, it's not that they're not great fighters, but they're not the typical UFC fan favorite. They're both guys that like to do it on the ground, get you in submission attempts. In the Sphere fight with Merab, when Sean O'Malley and Merab fought in the Sphere, Merab dominated, yeah. But it wasn't a fun fight to watch, and that's just not how Merab fights. Merab is really good with his cardio and just wearing you down, dominating. And that's his strength. And Umar Nurmagomedov, related to Khabib, is from that group of Dagestan fighters who are really, really talented on the ground. And we haven't really seen much of Umar, though, which is what makes this fight interesting. Because Umar was higher up in the rankings, I believe 12th in the rankings, before beating the number 3 contender, Corey Sandhagen. And that's what got him this title shot. And so I don't think that the bantamweight division is going to... It's going to look like the flyweight division, I feel like, as long as these two are the champion, which sucks to say because when... I know it was just for a short time, but while it was under Sean O'Malley, it was one of the best divisions in the UFC. It always brought in big numbers. Obviously, Sean's a big character, big personality, but he also had the fighting style to back it up. And so, it's what I call the Sean O'Malley effect. It's not like Conor McGregor. Like, you put Sean O'Malley on a fight, it's going to pop off. It's going to do really, really well. But you take him off, well, that's what you see here they're doing. They realize, okay, we can't use this as a headliner or it won't sell. So why don't we put it with the two Dagestan boys, Islam and Umar, who Khabib coaches both of them, so he will be there. Let's put them on the same card. And then we already had their opponents set. So I'm not blaming the UFC for doing it, because I think it's going to be a really good card with two really good title fights. But it's just they can't separate those two because that bantamweight fight won't sell how they want it to sell. But I think, honestly, the UFC is in a really good, could be in a really good position going forward. But let me tell you why. So, flyweight right now, no one really cares about it. But right now, Pantoja's the champion. Fights a rookie UFC fighter this weekend of when I'm recording this. And we'll see what happens in that fight. But the flyweight's always going to be kind of just below everyone else just because no one likes that lower weight class. And that's what Sean O'Malley did for the bantamweight division. He brought it up so much, people wanted to watch him fight who he was going to fight. He brought eyes to that division. He saved that division. And then you go to featherweight. Featherweight's probably one of the best places right now for a division with Ilya Topuria looking unbeatable almost. He will probably fight Alexander Volkanovski next. But then after that, he has some options. Will it be who I think it'll be, Diego Lopez, who will definitely provide a challenge. But I can see Ilya Topuria running this division for a very long time. And now we go up to lightweight division. I think lightweight's the most steady division out of them all. There's just a lot of good contenders in that. You have guys like Gaethje, Poirier, Dan Hooker's still there, Michael Chandler's still there. Oliveira's still there. Makhachev and Armand are still there. So whoever wins that fight when it happens, that division will still be in really good hands. It's not going to fall off. And then the next one is the UFC welterweight division, which right now the title belongs to Bilal Muhammad after a July win over Leon Edwards. And like Merab, he's not the style that people want to see. Bilal's a very boring fighter. Almost all of his fights have gone to a decision. And people just don't want to see that. They want to see the knockouts or just high-level fighting. And so that's why his matchup, which will be with Shavkat Rakhmonov, assuming Shavkat beats Ian Garry, it will be Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Bilal Muhammad. And I think the whole UFC community is looking for Shavkat to win that fight just so they can get a real just showstopper as the champion there, because he is going to be a really good champion because he has 18 finishes in 18 fights, which is crazy to say. And then another division that definitely is going to be good for a little while is the middleweight division with Dricus du Plessis, Sean Strickland, Israel Adesanya is still there. A lot of contenders are still in that division. Right now, Dricus looks really good. And honestly, right now, for the UFC is saying, I'm not sure who will be that next title fight. Could it be Dricus versus Sean Strickland? Absolutely. Or do they give the young up-and-coming guy, Khamzat Chimaev, who just destroyed a living legend of that division, Robert Whittaker, in one round? And no one beats Robert Whittaker in the first round. Khamzat killed him in the first round. He broke his jaw completely. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do, because people will be willing to watch either fight. And Khamzat's coming, though. And Khamzat's going to be in that division, and he is going to run that division for a long time, I feel like. Just with his ability on the ground, he's a weapon. His hands are steel. He's just such a complete fighter. And then we move up to the light heavyweight division, which this is a division where, honestly, I think it has a lot of question marks to it. Because obviously you have a guy like Alex Pereira, who is just a really good champion right now. He fights almost anytime he can. He's fought 3 times this year, saved UFC 300, saved International Fight Week for the UFC, a fight that was supposed to be headlined by Conor McGregor. And he saved that and then fought UFC 307. 3 wins. I think he should be Fighter of the Year. It'll probably come down to him or Ilya Topuria, and we'll have to wait and see what that happens with. But then the rest of the lightweight division, you have his presumed next bout between the two will be Pereira versus Magomed Ankalaev. But then you also have Jiří Procházka and Jamahal Hill, which will be that's also on this UFC 311 card. So off rip, you have Makhachev and Tsarukyan, Merab versus Umar. Those four are fighting for titles. And then you have the number 2 contender and number 3 contender in light heavyweight on that card too. So we're starting off 2025 with a hot card right off the bat in Los Angeles. And now we head over to the heavyweight division. And this has some question marks because John Jones, he had his injury a couple of years ago, so he couldn't fight Stipe. Well, since then, Tom Aspinall has taken that division by storm, winning the interim title and then defending the interim title by knockout. He's looked really good. He wants his shot at the belt. He wants to fight John Jones. But John Jones, he's saying he wants Pereira, which to the fans, I think everyone would love to see that. But for Tom Aspinall, he deserves to have his title shot because no one should have to defend an interim title in the first place once, but two times is just crazy. But they won't make him do that, so they'll have him fight in 2025 for sure. Yeah, but right now, I just think the UFC is in a really good spot, and also you still have the BMF champion, Max Holloway, who already came out and said he's going to stay in the lightweight division, feels more comfortable at 155. It's just a better fit for him. And I just think that right now, if I had to give his next matchup, I would say that Max Holloway should fight. I think he should fight Michael Chandler. Because Michael Chandler, he was in there with Charles Oliveira, even after Michael Chandler had waited 2 years to fight McGregor, but never did. I think that would be a really good fight to make. And I think the fans would love to see that too. The BMF is one of the greatest additions that they have added to this thing, because it's basically another championship fight. You're going to get the top contenders in a division at 155, which is some of the best fighters in the world and the most entertaining fighters. And I just think that's going to be a really, really fun one to watch. And then some other, so UFC 312s after that, that's in Australia. I doubt we would see this, but I don't think we'll get Topuria Volkanovski, that one, because Ilya does not want to fight at Volk's hometown, which he shouldn't. I don't blame him for not doing that. But I think that will be Dricus du Plessis versus either Hamzat or Sean Strickland, which I believe should be Sean Strickland. They made him fight Paulo Costa because they were going to give Izzy the title shot. Well, I think, because a lot of people thought, myself included, that Sean Strickland won that first fight against Dricus du Plessis. And I think he deserves his rematch against him just because that fight was so close. And Hamzat really has not fought anyone other than Robert Whittaker. Did he kill Whittaker? Yes. But I believe that the shot should go to Strickland first. And then after that, the winner of that has to fight Hamzat Chimaev. And we'll see what happens. Because if Dricus goes through Strickland again and Chimaev, I could see him possibly trying to go up to 205 to fight Pereira. But that's just another story down the line. And I just think that if the UFC is going to be fair, they would give Strickland that title shot. But the UFC has done crazier things before. So would it shock me if Hamzat got the title shot next? Or would it make me mad? No. But if you're in Sean Strickland's shoes, you would definitely be upset at the UFC for doing that. And now you're at around UFC 313, which there's no date or time set for that fight. However, I think that would be a good time for us to see Bilal fight again, because depending what happens with the Shavkat and Ian Garry fight, we're gonna have to see that winner face Bilal. And Bilal already said, like, his injury, it can keep him out of the fight that was supposed to be 310. However, that should be the fight at 312. Bilal versus Shavkat. Because that fight has to happen. And that's what the fans want to see. And I just don't think it would be fair to the rest of that division almost to not make Bilal fight. Because he should have fought already. He hasn't fought since July now. Which is a big break, especially for a guy who just won the belt. But then, also, around that time, either 13 or 14, I'd say, watch out for Magomed Ankalaev and Alex Pereira to fight. That's going to be a really good fight. Magomed, he finally is going to get his title shot. The reason he didn't in the past was because he is a boring fighter, so they didn't really want to give him a shot that he wasn't deserving of. But he looked really good in his last fight in Abu Dhabi, where he beat Alexander Rakic. And I think that's going to be a really good fight. But I could really see Magomed winning that fight just because Pereira's wrestling has never really been tested to this point. And, yeah. But if Pereira wins that fight, if I'm him, I'm going up to 205. To where I believe it'll be Tom Aspinall. Because I think either John's going to retire, or I think he's going to lose to Aspinall. But I think Pereira's going to go up to heavyweight and fight for that belt after. If he can get through Magomed. Because with that Jiří Procházka-Jamal Hill fight, if Prochazka wins, it's kind of hard to give him Alex Pereira for a third time when Alex beat him twice already. And then Jamal Hill, who got knocked out by him in the first round, that would be a fight to make. But does Alex want to do that? But overall, right now, I'd say the UFC is in a really good spot. And if I'm going to go back to it, this fight, January 18th, UFC 311, Makhachev versus Tsarukyan, Dvalishvili versus Nurmagomedov, and then Jamal Hill and Jiří Procházka. That's going to be a great opening pay-per-view for the new year. And we'll see what happens from there before we make any other predictions.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.